Hello and welcome to 1322 Life.
Welcome to 1322 Life, where faith meets financial strategies. I'm Bree Smith, CPA, and I believe that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, as stated in Proverbs 13:22. This podcast is your guide to building generational wealth God's way.
We are live, and today we are recording live because I had, from the last podcast episode, I had some of my clients tell me I didn't know if I was supposed to be able to comment or what I was supposed to do. So I wanted to make this episode a little bit like less formal or like pre-recorded and more of a conversation. However, I have great things planned to speak about today that I'm going to dive right into about discipline. That is what we're talking about this month, is discipline. And it's crazy, like God has me talking about discipline and while I'm getting re-disciplined myself. I used to be an extremely disciplined person. Someone that just went by a schedule, like strictly to the T. There was no wiggle room. Like I had to have order in my life to accomplish everything that I was doing. You know, when I was working full time, going to school full time, being a single mom, like life required order to hit all of those goals. And so as God is redisciplining me, he has me talking about it. And while I was like, hey, I'm not qualified. I've been a little off the wagon a couple years, you know. And he was like, yeah, and that's why I want you to talk about it, because I can talk to people about it as you're trying to rebuild discipline in your life, as well as God may be redisciplining you. Or if you're getting disciplined for the first time, maybe you're learning how to parent yourself. Ooh, you know, it's always hard to parent the you out of your kid, but it's different when you have to just like parent yourself as an adult. Like now the grownups are gone. You are the grownup and you have to do the work. And so that's why we're talking about mindset. Hi, I see someone, little Loki. Hi, little Loki. So let's get into it. All right. So God really and truly downloaded this in me earlier today. What I'm talking about today is discipline. And what he had talked to me about this morning is about how without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this before or thought about this before, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I always thought all my life that that meant that I had to have this great faith. Like I just had to believe God no matter what, so that I could like walk on water like Peter, or so that I could experience life and see miracle signs and wonders. But God had illuminated to me that that necessarily was not what he meant completely by looking at, like, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. I think that's part of it, right? You have to have faith to see miracle signs and wonders in your life, but you also have to have faith in order to be able to please God, as in, okay, what about if you are a person in your 30s, you're single without any children, and it seems like all hope is gone. For us ladies, it can feel like the clock is ticking and we're now looking at, okay, I really want a child. And what do I do in that situation? Or maybe you are someone who instead has grown up without any kind of positive influences in your life. You've never actually seen anyone actually have wealth or have any kind of finances, like great finances, unless they were a drug dealer or a con artist of some sort. And so that's what you were kind of taught is the way to build, to be rich or to have money or to have a good life, is you had to be a drug dealer or you with me were out here scheming. Those are the only people you ever saw being able to make it out of your neighborhood or your area, because you didn't see doctors, lawyers, bankers that had a good life. You didn't see people doing things the right way. And so then what do you do? So it says in the Bible that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I want to, hi Quinn, hi Robin. Hey Robin! So it says that, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And to talk about that, I want to look at it as, what does it mean if instead of us trying to be striving to be like Peter or be like Abraham to believe God for a child when you're like 100 years old, or to walk on water, but what does it mean to like actually walk with faith daily. So to me, that looks like trusting and believing God that he's going to come through and like what he said in his Bible actually worked. So instead of me accepting a counterfeit blessing or something that's less than, that means that if I'm that person that's been waiting for marriage or, you know, whatever to build a family, that I actually trust God that he's going to do it, no matter what it looks like in this situation. If I'm that person that grew up in poverty and only the only people that had money were those that were drug dealers or con artists or whatever, then I actually have to trust God that, okay, this is not the way that you would want me to do things. And so I'm going to actually be patient and have faith that even if it doesn't look like this is possible, that if I trust you and I do the things that are pleasing to you, that it's actually going to pay off in the long run. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it hits different for me when I'm not just looking at him to heal a family member that's in the hospital or heal a family member that was diagnosed with cancer or a church member or heal somebody of something miraculous that the doctor said there's no more hope. And I've seen God do those things. I've seen doctors have zero answers, have no understanding of what's going on with someone and heal them. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know people that are walking answered prayers. And, you know, I can't give in detail their story, but even my story. I've seen how God has blessed me with my son Nehemiah and how I had prayed for him for years before he was even conceived. And I have him. When I got married, like within a couple of years, we said we wanted to have a boy. And then we named him. We named him Nehemiah. Before he was even conceived, we had a name, everything. He was all planned out. And now here he is about to be 3 years old. And he is my answered prayer. He's my walking, living miracle baby, my answered prayer. Even though I had a miscarriage right before I actually was able to be pregnant with him, even though I had that tubal pregnancy, like even though I lost a baby that I thought was going to be him, that I thought was going to be my answer prayer, even though I lost that baby, that same year God blessed me to be pregnant with my Nehemiah, who is now a walking, like just a ball of fire, if you know my son. So I just want you to know, like, God truly does work. So without faith, we cannot please him, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so that means that no matter what, we have to trust God. No matter what, we have to put our faith at work. No matter what, we have to do what's pleasing to God, even when it doesn't look like it's going to pan out or work in our favor. So I wanted to bring this up as well. So in Hebrews 11:6, I also just want to bring up while I'm pulling it up, and you can pull it up in your own Bible because you should be able to find the same exact word I find. And maybe God will tell you, give you a different revelation than he gave me. But also without faith, you can't please God because you can't believe. You can't believe that things are going to work out his way, the way that he said. If you don't have faith in him, you're not going to believe that, hey, if I actually do these things, then I'm going to be blessed. You're not going to actually believe that, hey, I have a quick, sure way to do XYZ. Let's just say you have a quick, sure way right now to be getting $10,000 a week. Scamming people is by taking people's IDs, whatever, and you can be, you know, hood rich. Like you can be making $10,000-$20,000 a week if you just go ahead and steal people's ID and mess up their credit and, you know, make fraudulent checks, whatever. Meanwhile, doing things God's way, it takes you time to actually go to college or to go to trade school or to get a good job and work on that job for a few years or whatever. And it just seems like that ain't going to even happen. Like I could be getting this thing right now. And instead you want me to wait? Without faith, you're not going to, because if you don't believe in him, you're not going to actually practice it. Like you're not going to actually say, oh, I'm putting my true trust and belief in you. So there's a lot of people out here that say that they believe in God and have no faith. And it's like, you don't truly believe, because if you truly believed in God, if you really believed in him, then you would trust him with your life. You would trust him with your finances. You would trust him to work it all out. And so if you lack faith, you cannot please him. You cannot do what's pleasing to him. You just can't. It's impossible. And so in Hebrews 11:6, I already have it written down, but I want to read it from my Bible. And it states, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You have to believe that he truly exists and he rewards you if you earnestly seek him. And what does it mean to earnestly seek God? There's another Bible verse, ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be answered. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered. Ask, seek, knock. I actually did not plan to talk about that one, so I don't have that one written down. But ask, seek, knock. So if you're earnestly seeking God, that means you're coming to him with your questions. You're seeking through your Bible to find where it is in his word that he said he was going to do X, Y, Z for you. Where it is in his word that he said that you will deal with whatever the consequence is when you don't listen to him. It's not cherry picking and choosing what parts of the Bible you like, but accepting it in its entirety. It is earnestly seeking God and finding out what pleases you, what makes you happy, what makes you sad. It's really trying to know him and understand him. And while his way of thinking is way beyond and above what we could ever think, and his way of doing things, we will not always comprehend, guaranteed, because that's where faith comes in. It's just you're constantly going to him. You're constantly praying to him. He said, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. He wants you to pray to him about your pinky toe being hurt at the corner of that bed. Like, he wants you to pray to him and talk to him about the things that are making you cry or keeping you up at night. He wants you to talk to him about the things that you're still hurt by that happened when you were a child. He wants you to talk to him about them not having your favorite food or traffic moving. But see, to talk to him about literally everything. And I get to see this even in my children because, you know, Jesus was telling us how we need to have faith like a child and to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I see my daughter, how she prays for snow. You're welcome. You went in Virginia and you experienced snow. My little girl will pray for snow and I'll see it happen. I've seen her just like pray about the most simple things. And he actually delivers and answers her prayer. And it's like, what in the world? You know? And it's because she just has faith like a child. Like, 'cause she just believes him. She just believes him. All right. So the next thing is that I have here in my notes. Oh, some examples that I had gave. Forgiving our enemies pleases God and will give us the peaceful life that we desire. That's something that we have to believe. That has been a struggle for me. But I have to believe that if I don't keep the same energy and instead I forgive and treat them well, because God says that when we treat our enemies with kindness, it's like reaping hot stones on their head. And but if you're someone that struggles with forgiveness, I mean, it actually helps you because it's like, yeah, I'm reaping hot coals. So another thing is waiting on a spouse pleases God and he will give us the family we've been hoping and praying for by doing things his way. I resonate with this. And I got married young, but honestly and truly, I think that it pays to wait for a spouse, to wait to be married. We not got married young. I have folks that wanted to marry me before Michael was then. And I was just like, nope. And because, like, it would have been settling for me. It honestly would have been settling. We're in a military town. I honestly think one guy just wanted to marry me for the BAH. Like, I think he really liked Lily. He claimed to love me, but I think he really wanted to marry me for the BAH, right? And that's just a basic housing or basic housing allowance, or BHA or whatever. But, honestly, like, I took marriage serious and I wanted to marry someone that I didn't feel like I was settling for. Like, oh, this is as good as it gets. Like, what a multi-time job. Like, they got a certified check coming in. We're all this high housing. We're all this high, yada, yada, yada. I could have settled. I was a single mom out here, okay? It was hard. I definitely could have settled and got a check and, like, got stability for me and my daughter a different way. But God was already providing stability. I already had my own place. I already had an apartment that I was keeping up with, even if it was by, you know, me working 40 hours a week and having to go to school. Like, I could have lived a quote unquote soft life by being able to say, oh, the bills are taken care of. Me and my daughter are secure. And all I have to do is worry about school now because I decided to marry somebody that's in the military that can take care of me. That was an option. I could have chose to marry my daughter's father and, you know, been a family. That was an option. I chose not to because I was like, I'm not truly in love with any of you people.
And I don't sleep forever, so I'm not going to. But when I did get married, it was to a person that gave me butterflies and made me so happy. Like, he became a part-time job because I talked to him all day. We talked to each other 6+ hours a day, every day. And we just fell in love so fast. And I would have missed out on that, like, once-in-a-lifetime type of love if I just would have settled. And I had multiple chances to settle. I could have settled with a teenage boyfriend that was no good and that I was with for years. I could have settled and decided to be with someone that wouldn't have treated me well at all. I think he's still doing time. Don't know. Why, that just meant move on and get out of there. Like, I could have settled. I could have settled. Or I could have write for someone that I could build a life with and have a beautiful family with. And even though I got married really well, and you may be much older than I am currently, you still don't have to settle. All right, I think I have one last example for y'all. And that was that making an honest living pleases God, and he will allow us to have wishes untold and bless us exceedingly and abundantly what we can ask, think, or imagine. Oh, I love this one. So this comes from Ephesians 3:20. And Ephesians is right next to Galatians in your Bible. That is before Hebrews. So if you're still in Hebrews with me, just go back some. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to be immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power, brothers that work within us. So this is them praying to God, but they're acknowledging that he is able to do immeasurably more. Like, you cannot measure how much more he's able to do than you ask or imagine. Another version may say ask or think. So I already say ask, think, or imagine. I don't know if a version says all three. I could not find it. But New King James Version says ask or think. And then this one, I have a Living Translation, I believe. Oh, no, this is NIV that I'm reading from. And this one says that he would do more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So, you know, the Holy Spirit lives within you and operates through you. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to really take over in your life, one, you have fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5, which is the book right before here. But two, you'll be able to actually see that faith at work pay off. So you'll actually see God's blessings come to your life because you chose to follow him. And I have it written down. This is the book that I really wanted to talk to you guys about. So I'm going to tell you guys, because I dared to say the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to just tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is, and you can go back to it at your own leisure, but it's in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is something I'm working on. Any of my Transformation Nation folks, you know, we did a whole entire year last year about our fruit, but you know, it's love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you truly are allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you, this is how you will act. You don't get one out of the nine. Like, you get all nine. It's like, it's all together. It's like grapes on a vine. You get all of them. You're not just getting one. Or is that the orange? Whatever way you want to put it, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So these are the things that you should see as a part of your temperament because you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and you're trusting God and having faith in him. But what I wanted to talk to you guys about, which is truly faith at work, is Ruth. And so you may or may not know about Ruth, but the book of Ruth is a great read. Me and my church, we are reading through the Bible this year. So I just made my way through Ruth now in 1 Samuel. And so listening about Ruth, like, it's literally 4 chapters. And I was like, okay, what was the purpose of them, you know, writing about Ruth? Like, what was that for? And I honestly think it's just to show that when you're someone of noble character, Boaz tells her that she's a noble woman and everyone in town knows that she's a noble woman when she comes to him and sleeps at his feet. And how, you know, the fact that she was just so loyal to Naomi. So let me give you some background. Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law. So Naomi left and went to live in Moab with her husband and 2 sons. While they were there, her 2 sons got married to 2 Moabite women. So 2 women from Moab. They did not believe in God, Moabites, as in general, they did not believe in God. They worship other gods, different way of living, right? And so while there, her husband dies. And then 10 years later, both of her sons die. So she hears about how back in Judah, you know, God is providing food and things for his people. And so she decides to go back home. And she's like, don't even call me Naomi. She just wanted to be called a name that basically meant bitter. She's like, I left for real and I'm coming back empty. Like she was just so heartbroken. She lost everything. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She just lost everything. And so she told her daughters, she was like, go back to your parents' house. Go back to your mom, dad. Go back there. Hopefully you find new husbands. And, you know, you are well. First, they're both like, no, we're staying with you. She repeats herself. And Orpah decides to leave. She's like, okay, bye. And she goes back to her parents, you know, to hopefully marry again. We hear nothing else about her after that. Ruth was like, I'm not leaving you. Where you go, I'll go. Your God is my God. I will follow you. And she followed Naomi. And she went back to Judah with her. She left her family. She left all that she knew, and she decided to be loyal to her mother-in-law. Even though her husband was dead, even though they didn't have any children that are written about, she chose to go with her mother-in-law. That she was released from owing anything to, and that she knew wouldn't have any more sons to redeem her in that time. Like, you know, she's not waiting around 20 plus years, like, for this woman to get remarried, have a baby, and wait 20 plus years or something like that, to be able to, like, now make this her husband, like, this little kid. That she probably don't have praise, like be her husband, like gross. But she chooses to follow her and just be there with her, take care of her. And while she's in the process of taking care of them and going through, you know, getting food for them and, you know, following harvesters behind. So basically she'll just pick up whatever they left behind, whatever the field workers left behind as they were harvesting the crops. She would just pick that up and glean from them to be able to give them food at home. And so in doing so, that's where she meets Boaz. And he's like, you ain't got to go nowhere else. You come right here. You only glean from my land. We'll make sure that you're safe. And then Ruth is like, that is a family redeemer. He's a family redeemer. And this is what you do. And so she tells her to go lay at his feet. And she does. Ruth does. You can read the book for yourself. This is why we got our physical Bibles. You know, read the book for yourself. It's only 4 chapters. I swear it reads faster than some of these social media. Oh, this one people going back and forth in the comment section, right? So read it for yourself. But she lays at his feet, basically, and he wakes up in the middle of the night, like, who are you going to be? And she was like, we know it's your servant, Ruth. And he's like, you know, basically, he's just like, wow, you're a noble woman. You're not out here trying to seek a younger man, someone close to your age, like, just let's assume that Ruth is like in her 30s. She's 30 and flirty and fine. And here's this old man, Boaz, who's like 50 something or 60 something. You know, he got land. He got money, apparently. But it's just like she wasn't worried about any of that. She was just being loyal to her mother-in-law. And I don't know how well off he was, but I know that he at least had land and had people working for him to till that land and harvest that land, right? You know, and nonetheless, he's like, okay, well, there's another family redeemer that's even closer than I am. Let's see in the morning if they will instead redeem the land in you. And if not, then I surely will. Like, as surely as God lives, I will. So he's excited to get this young wife. So he goes in the morning and meets the other family redeemer. That family redeemer was like, yeah, I'm about to land. He's like, okay, bet. When you do, you also got to take on the wife. Ruth. And he's like, nah, I'm not putting my wealth, you know, at risk for that. Like, he didn't want to change up whatever his children or descendants would inherit because he was redeeming and taking on this dead man's wife. And so Boaz did, and he married her, and she gave birth to a son named Obed. And Obed ends up getting married and has Jesse. And Jesse is David's daddy. And David is King David that slayed Goliath. So because Ruth was obedient, her great-grandson became king. Her great-grandson would have never existed if it had not been for that. And because Ruth was such a noble woman, because she trusted God, because she chose to make our God, her God, to make the Jews' God her God. So she chose to choose God and trust in him and to be good to her mother-in-law. Her great-grandson is King David, a man after God's own heart. And one of her descendants is Jesus Christ himself. I mean, that's something. She is Jesus Christ's grandmother. I don't know how many greats, okay? It's a lot of greats. But she, Jesus Christ came through her lineage. Isn't that amazing? Like, that blew me. I was just like, wow, when you really trust God, you don't know. There's people that talk about generational curses, which my apostle has been on and teaching us about, and about how, like, you know, we really don't have generational curses anymore in the New Testament because Jesus did pay it all so that they don't have to exist. You just had generational habits that you keep going, right? But that's not what I'm here to talk about. But I'm talking about generational blessings, which is beautiful. Like, because she was noble, because she had faith, because she did the right thing and just trusted God through that process. She was able to be married. She was able to give birth to a son. And that son was then able to be the grandfather of King David, you know, had created Jesse, David's daddy. So, and I have my great-grandmother still living. I wonder if she lived to actually see her great-grandson become king, or to at least even hear about him being anointed king. Isn't that beautiful? Like, being able to know your great-grandchild is. So that was just phenomenal to me. That touched me in a different way. So we have the story of Ruth, which I just feel like teaches us, like, having faith, having discipline. Ruth was disciplined enough to go and, you know, harvest in that land. She was disciplined enough to not be like, oh, well, I can go get even more. She wasn't, like, greedy. Like, he gave her more than enough. He sent her home with, like, four bags worth of, like, wheat instead of a barn or whatever it was. Like, you are not going home empty-handed to Naomi. Like, but she was just obedient, and she was blessed through her obedience. She was blessed because she had faith. And because of her obedience and her faith, like, she could have been like Orpah. We could have never heard about any of them. Like, if Ruth would have left, because this is the book of Ruth, we wouldn't know about Naomi, we wouldn't know about Orpah, we wouldn't know about nobody, okay? King David would not have come through her. It wouldn't have been a David. It would have been somebody else. Like, somebody else would have had a slave alive, because David won't gonna be born, because Ruth ain't want to stick with Naomi. You know, what kind of blessings are able to touch multiple generations because of your obedience? As I serve a great God, and even in the Old Testament where it says that your descendants will be cursed for three generations, it also says that but those that serve God and are righteous, that he will bless them for 1,000 generations. Generational blessings have always outweighed any kind of generational curse. He's like, we serve such a gracious God that he's like, hey, if you do the wrong thing, it's going to hurt three generations. If you do the right thing, I'm going to bless 1,000 generations. It just completely wipes out anybody that did anything wrong anyway. Like, because if one person chooses to believe and trust God, it changes things for 1,000 generations. It blesses 1,000 generations. Like, who can count 1,000 generations? That is just so beautiful. Like, God, and it shows you his heart. He really just wants to bless us. He really wants to take care of us. He really wants to show up and show out in our lives. He really wants to do exceedingly abundantly and beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. That's what I was able to gain from this. And it really touched me. And so I just want to say, we were talking about discipline, and it was talking about a disciplined mindset. But I feel like having a disciplined mindset as a Christian, as a believer, means that you have to have faith. If you don't have faith, you can have nothing. And I know of people that call themselves disciplined, and they are disciplined in so many ways. I see a lot of disciplined entrepreneurs out here. Like, you get up and you grind for this business. You day and night, night and day, you on it. You making sure your family gonna eat. You making sure you gonna get all the money that you working hard for. You making sure that you're building generational wealth. You're making sure that you got that money coming in, even if it's from a corporate job, being a manager. You're making sure that you're diligent in how you show up and serve with excellence to continue to climb that corporate ladder. You make sure your kids don't eat. You make sure that they're taken care of. They go to school looking great. You make sure your hair done, your nails done, everything did. Like, you make sure those things, right? You're disciplined in those things. You make sure that you go get those nails done every 2 weeks. Or you make sure that you don't miss a hair appointment. Like, you make sure you don't miss that massage. You make sure that you're not late for that morning meeting. You make sure you find a way, even if you're running late for work, like, you make sure that you chime in on a phone or something, because they're not going to catch you missing, not going to catch you slipping. Like, you make sure to show up. How much effort do you make sure to show up for God, though? Because this is something I had to check within myself. Today, I'm tired. Why? Because I got up at 5 a.m. And if I did not get up at 5 a.m. this morning, I would not have anything to talk about today. Because even though I had notes and everything that I could have talked about, or I could have got it from chat, I feel like when it comes Holy Spirit led, you really need the Holy Spirit to be working through you. And you have to be obedient. So God has told me to get up at 5 a.m. So I'm up with the help of coffee and tea. And what I found is that when I don't wake up at 5 a.m., somehow a lot of those days, my time with God can get snatched away. And I may listen to gospel music throughout the day. I may even but I don't always even listen to my Bible when I don't wake up on time those days. I don't always make God a priority, but I do make sure tax returns get done. I do make sure I respond to clients. I do make sure I communicate with my staff. I do make sure my employees have what they need. I do make sure of those things. But am I showing up for God the way that I need to? And so getting up at 5 a.m. is personal for me. It is rough. My husband had to wake up with me. He had to cut off the fan, everything. He had to get up with me to help me get out of the bed, because I struggle with it. But because I got up on time, I was able to hear from God. I literally, everything that I'm telling you guys in notes, it was in notes on my phone. I just transferred it so that it would be on my laptop during our talk, since my phone is recording right now. But I was able to get a fresh word from God to be able to get to his people. I was able to hear from him. And I'm teaching tonight, too. And it's going to be on something different. God's going to give me something else to teach on, because I teach for my church, for the Six Figure Earners Club. And in order to be a six-figure earner, you have to be disciplined, right? And I feel like in order to do it without the stress that can come, you have to trust God and be led by the Holy Spirit, because I know how to grind and make money. I know how to hustle, and I know how to feel like a complete slave out in these streets trying to do it all by myself. And I also have been blessed to see what it looks like doing it with God. Woo. I know how hard I had to work for six figures in corporate America, and I know how easy sometimes it is. Even though it's not easy, it's easier. Like, I have time to go to the gym now. No one else dictates my schedule. And I have tax returns that are going out today. I have a team that helps me to be able to take care of my clients and do the things that we need to do. But I'm able to structure it that way. I have time to spend with you guys and talk about God's word. And this feels a lot more filling to me, being able to talk to my clients and walk them through things instead of just being somebody that plugged in numbers and took care of people's finances for years. I literally had clients that I served with excellence for years, and they don't even know my name. They never met me. They never talked to me on the phone or anything, because I was an employee somewhere. Now I know my people. I know what's going on to y'all, right? Where y'all were, what's up with you, what's stressing you out, what's keeping you up at night, what's going on. Like, I know, but I had no idea before. I would find out all these things about them as I worked, and I sent them their $50,000 checks each month. And I would sometimes write checks for people well over six figures a month. Meanwhile, that job didn't want to pay me that a year. And I had to just really see, and you know, you go and you hear about how the company's making millions and they don't even want you to make a few more thousand. And so instead of being a slave, I'm able to be free. And I'm able to sustain and have grace. So that's what we do at the Six Figure Earners Club. We're talking about building wealth God's way there as well. So if you want to, you can tune in on Facebook Live, Life Changing Ministry VA. I will be talking more tonight with a fresh word that God is giving me. But I hope that this has also blessed you and helped you. And y'all let me know, do y'all prefer live or pre-recorded? I'm thinking about making this a weekly live, where I can keep it pre-recorded again. We're figuring things out. All I do know is that God told me to do this podcast, so I'm going to do it. I will be obedient, you know? But I want to know what works better for you guys. Do you get more value when you're able to be live? Do you like being able to say, hey, how's it going? Or, eventually even being able to, ask questions live and things like that, and see any questions today. But I was happy that you guys were able to let me know when my sound went out and stuff, because I was recording at home by myself. My team would have gotten a video, and then it would have been like, Bree, halfway through, we could not hear you anymore. You re-record, So I think I like the alive a little bit better. We could solve things in real time. But let me know what you guys like in the comment section. We will be back next week, live or pre-recorded, or maybe live. I think I want to try this out for a little while and just diving deeper into God. So we're talking about discipline, going over whatever he has for us. Because I have plans, and me and my team have made plans for what the next month will look like. But sometimes God can switch it up, and I think he switches it up in the best way. So, all right, I love y'all. I'm going to leave y'all with this, which is Romans 10 and 17. And I'm going to just read it off of this. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So I hope that this helped you to fill up your faith bucket today, that you're able to increase your faith just by hearing the message, which is God's word, and that I was able to hopefully give you a little bit more insight than you had before, and maybe made you want to go study your Bible a little bit more to get even more insight from the one true King that was on the leg of God. I pray that you would seek him first and go to him about everything. Pray to him about everything, because he can give you a much better word than I did today. I'm still learning and growing in this area. But I just want to pray us out, and I want to thank you all for being here today. So, dear Lynn, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for those that are here, that are listening, that have been here this entire podcast with me today, that was able to share in your word with me. Lord, I thank you for their lives. I ask that you bless every last one of them, that they grow and know you on a deeper level, that your children love you. And for those that are watching this on replay, God, that you bless their socks off. I hope that everyone's faith is filled today, that they know that they need to seek you first, that they need to trust you. They need to come to you with all their questions, all their problems, and just give you everything. And so, God, we trust you. We love you. We honor you. And we give you all the glory and praise today and every day. Amen. Have a good one. And I'll see y'all next week.